So do you put up a real tree or an artificial tree? How about it? A little bit of a survey. Are you a real tree person or are you fake? A fake tree person. I recall going on a mission for the ideal real Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Nance and I, we didn't have kids yet, and this was a Friday night. It was a couple weeks before Christmas. We wanted to find a real tree, and we had criteria for it. It needed to be tall because we had high ceilings in our house. It needed to be beautiful, full, real, live, and cheap. Cheap, like inexpensive, inexpensive tree. Sound like good criteria? What do you think? Yeah, and so perfect, right? So here we are, young couple. We go out. We are on a mission to find real tree, inexpensive, big, beautiful real tree. So we do the predictable stuff. We go to the big box store nearby. It was called Menards. It was like a Home Depot, Lowe's kind of thing. And we see these trees, and they... Not ideal, okay, at least we think so, but they're... cheap, you know, they're like 15 bucks. And so we're staying on this mission. We're roaming, watching, looking. We're on this mission. Our purpose is find the ideal Christmas tree, inexpensive. And so we end up, a number of miles away at sort of a farm-ish kind of place. And of course, sticker shock regarding the tree experience you can have. And again, that's a wonderful thing to do. It's wonderful. We realize that. But for us and our budget, it was like, no way. We end up back in town at a couple of garage lots, you know, the side garage tree lot kind of thing. And again, some pretty nice trees, but sticker shock. So of course, as we're there on this mission out there, it starts to snow flurry. So it starts to be kind of this idyllic Friday night, young married couple on a quest, on a mission, out to find a Christmas tree. When push came to shove, guess what happened? We ended up back at the big box store buying the $15 tree. We found the tallest one, the one that looked like it might hold up for a while, and we hauled it back home. By now, it was fantastic. Snow was coming down. There was this guy in our church who every year, he was a really big guy, fun-loving guy, and he would grow out his beard and get white into it, and he would go do parties and be Santa. Well, he was out for a party that night. He was on his own mission that night, and he rapped on our front window as we're putting up our Christmas tree. It was this idyllic Friday night, but as we were out there looking for a tree, we were on a mission. So here's this morning's big message. Here it is. This is what we want you more than ever to walk with this morning. Here it is. King Jesus came with purpose, mission, and passionate love to save us. King Jesus came with purpose, mission, and passionate love to save us. It's so important. So important to discover in a brand new way this heart of Christmas. This heart of Christmas, we can go deeper and wider beyond the lights and the shopping and the programs. And all of these are fun, and they add meaning, they add pizzazz, they add joy. But most of us long for that deeper sense of wonder, amazement, and a real encounter with God's love. So let's explore some more verses in Matthew 1. You've already heard them a couple of times this morning. Some verses in Matthew 1 and the true purpose and the extraordinary love and the all-out mission and wonder of Christmas.
Right. Let's just start with taking a moment to marvel at God's amazing miracle to bring us King Jesus. Let's just sit in that. It's miraculous. Betrothed. Pledged to be married. Virgin, pregnant, scared, adulteress, public shame, divorce, poor, angel, Messiah. These are all words that could come to mind when we are describing the seemingly impossible scenario that Mary and Joseph suddenly found themselves to be a part of as they learned that they would parent Jesus, a child born of God and human mother. If you have your Bible nearby, grab it and turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We read, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found herself to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Can you imagine? First, an angel appearing. And then that angel tells you that you're about to welcome the soon-to-be Messiah as your child? I can't imagine. You're betrothed. This means you're not yet living with your spouse, but yet you're legally committed to one another. And Mary and Joseph were living in a time where being suspected of adultery was major, major news.
Yeah, newsflash, breaking news.
Breaking news. And it was majorly against the law of the land at the time. So Mary and Joseph, they find themselves to be in quite a predicament. It's a very confusing and scary turn of events for them that came on suddenly. It's hard for me, and I imagine all of us, to imagine an angel coming to you. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, to suggest, oh, hey, by the way, you're going to be expecting the child who will be the Messiah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a crazy turn of events. Wow. So now Joseph is set to marry a woman who had been committed to him, but yet she's a pregnant virgin. Joseph could have sent her away. He could have quietly divorced her as he was thinking through. He could have humiliated her quite publicly. And that type of public shaming could have led to death by stoning in those times. Joseph could have left Mary and been faithful to the law. But in verse 19, we hear that Joseph was righteous and he was planning to divorce her quiet to try to save her from some of the public shaming that he knew would come about. We learn of Mary's response, however, in Luke's gospel. And here we find Mary, who was visited by the angel Gabriel, sent from God to tell her that she would conceive and give birth to Jesus. Confused and likely even disturbed, Mary asked a simple question. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In a book, The Real Mary, author Scott McKnight writes, "She must have wondered if there was an easier way. Knowing what the Torah said, knowing how the law was interpreted, and knowing what her society would accuse her of, we are ready to be surprised, if not amazed, that Mary consented to Gabriel with the simple words, 'May it be,' as recorded in Luke's gospel." Why then, we ask, did Mary consent to this plan? And don't miss this. Because she knew God. Because of Mary's trust in God, and in spite of all of those threatening thoughts of accusation and rebuke, Mary uttered those courageous words that changed history. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stunning.
It is stunning. We can all learn so much about gracious surrender and obedience from Mary's example right here. She believed and ultimately agreed to do something that seemed just about impossible. Just about impossible. It was her faith in God that led her to this decision and ultimately to our King Jesus, who saved the world. That's incredible. Mary, in faith, she faced what seemed absolutely impossible. She faced things that seemed unreasonable, even absurd, but she faced them with grace and confidence, knowing all things are possible for the Lord. Don't miss this. God can seem, he can do what seems hard. God can do what seems impossible. It's our response to his calling that becomes the vehicle for his work. Mary was clearly told by the angel Gabriel that this pregnancy is the work of the Holy Spirit. We see it across Scripture. We see it across Scripture that the Holy Spirit creates life. The Holy Spirit is creative and life-giving.
Yeah, even all the way back at creation, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. these other touchdown points all across the story. Yes. It's the Holy Spirit working, creating, and then recreating. And I was just really blown away this week, Randy, with the concept that it's that same Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. same Holy Spirit that hovered over creation, same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary mm-hmm. that wants to do a recreative work in us. Mm-hmm. Blown away
by that. It's incredible. Mary's bold and courageous example here shows us that miracles can happen mm-hmm. when we are open to the Holy Spirit working in and mm-hmm. through us. Mary didn't laugh. Mary didn't doubt. Mm-hmm. Mary didn't shy away in fear, which is tempting in mm-hmm. times like these. Mary trusted and believed. Mary had a child of virgin birth, an event that was so incredibly significant to every single one of us. The birth of Christ, both fully God and fully human. The birth of the one who can understand the entirety of our human journey, but who can also heal us and cleanse us of our sins. Let's watch this together.
So at this point, Joseph's life takes a surprising turn. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Just imagine trying to process this. How would you feel if you were in Joseph's sandals? I mean, seriously. So look at Matthew 1 and verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Joseph, in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Oh, the irony, an angel to you in a dream. Do not be afraid.
It's okay.
Specifically, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. Now, no doubt, Joseph thinks and maybe even says deep inside, yeah, right, Holy Spirit, yeah, sure. After all, Joe is just a man, right? But he is a caring, thoughtful, God-fearing, our verse here captures it, translates it as, faithful to the law, God-fearing, following through with the law, but he's caring, and he's thoughtful. I find the tension in the text right here interesting. On the one hand, he is committed to fulfill the law, and on the other hand, there are other values that are tugging at his heart as well. According to the Hebrew law, in Deuteronomy 22, he could actually have Mary brought before the local judges and have her stoned to death as the severest punishment. The ancient Israelite law said that could take place, but Joseph loves her too much and wisely modulates his response. And though such situations were rare back then, they were, it seems, though, that when they did occur, modulation had become more the normal option in those days. So still in this public news, yeah, it would be fraught with scandal, breaking news, scandal. And so look again at verse 20. What does the angel's message mean? The messenger speaks words of courage to Joseph. Words of courage. Don't be afraid. Go ahead with your marriage to Mary. He actually affirms the reality of Mary's story. That must have shocked Joseph and also taken a load off his mind. Well, Kind of. At least a little. The baby has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit, the creative one, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, pause and ponder this for a moment. It's really rather mysterious.
It sure is.
Really? Rather mysterious. This truth means that Jesus really is God's Son. So he is fully divine. Later in Jesus' ministry, this truth, got him in a heap of trouble all the time, especially with the religious establishment. John 5:18 is just one spot where this happens. It says, "For this reason, they," that's the religious leaders of the day, "tried all the more to kill him." In other words, they had already been after him with violence, and now all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, here's the kicker. He was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. Consider it. Without being conceived within Mary the Virgin, through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus would have simply been another man. A great teacher? Yes. A highly successful religious activist? Oh yeah, no doubt. But still a common and natural human. However, because he was God, fully God, come into a human body, he is able to save us. He is able to save us. Savior of the world, Savior of our hearts. Such extraordinary love. And soak it in. We said earlier, yeah, just sit in that for a moment. Just sit there. Soak it in.
God did a miraculous thing to bring us King Jesus. Just pause again and marvel in the wonder and the majesty and the awesomeness of it. Remember, King Jesus came with purpose, mission, and passionate love to save us. It's good to realize, though, that it's not something that we can fully explain or 100% understand. And that's okay. That's why it's a wondrous miracle and a mystery.
Yeah, this is tricky for any of us who think we can figure every last thing out. This is a little tricky.
We can't. But what we can do is accept the truth and enjoy the awesomeness of it. After all, I have a list of things that I don't fully understand, but we can still accept them, believe them, and fully enjoy them. Think about things like the wind, the ocean currents, Wi-Fi, your spouse.
Your spouse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can add the miracle of Jesus' conception to that list. Accept it, believe it, and marvel in God's power to do it. There's another way that we really can experience God's passion, love, and wonder this Christmas.
Yeah, so let's set out to actually grasp Jesus' amazing mission and real purpose of Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might know what it's like to go on a Christmas mission. If you've gone after that ideal tree or you've gone after that ideal gift. You know what mission is like. Mm-hmm. We can grasp his amazing mission and real purpose. Verse 21, the angel continues talking with Joseph in his dream. Catch verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Yes.
Because he will save his people from their sins. The angel says it will be a boy, and his name is to be Jesus. Jesus. Now, in Bible days, someone's name often conveyed a description of their very character and their life focus. A name did that. Mm-hmm. It was more than what we do today. Now, maybe you tried to get after that a little bit, but it was more back then than we do today, where we work on names to see how they sound or how popular they are on the baby naming list. Nance and I used name books. Back in the day, there were these things called baby name books. You know, before the wonderful World Wide Web, right? Exactly. There were these baby name books. Any of you use a baby name book. No, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. So we would sit up late at night, and we would sort through these names. And I actually one night proposed some names to Nance when we had not yet landed on Jared's name, our firstborn. I proposed, hey, hon, I said, how about Fletcher? Like Fletcher Pletcher. She didn't go for it. My next one was equally astounding. Granger. It means from the farm, of the farm. Granger Pletcher. She didn't go for that one either for some reason. Jesus. Jesus' name means the Lord saves. And it was a current derivation of Joshua. Joshua. And the angel gets specific about Jesus' unique life, purpose, and why. They're intertwined. The name, Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, and the meaning behind it and the why. He will save people. He will save his people. He will save people. He will save us. Mm-hmm. Think on that. He will save us from our sins. That's the mission, his mission. That's his passionate love for you and for me. His all-out extraordinary love for you and for me. Now, this would have messed with the Jewish expectation because they were expecting the primary work of the promised Messiah to be deliverance from the military, political, and economic oppression of Rome. That was their expectation of the Messiah. Matthew, in this gospel, is letting us know it's something much deeper, something of even greater significance, more personal and transformative, even more creative work. It gets at the real root of the human issue. Here is life-changing, passionate love for you and for me. King Jesus came with purpose and mission and passionate love to save us. Original sin, back to the fall in the Garden of Eden is the root cause of all our calamity. You can trace it back. We are all pine cones fallen from the tree. We've missed God's righteous, perfect, holy target, all of us. Sin ripples. Yes, it starts in our human hearts at the core of who we are, and it ripples out. It brings sorrow. It brings pain and crime and broken homes and broken relationships and ruined marriages and destroyed bodies and divisions among people and even the violence that is such breaking news in these days, in these hours we live in right now. Enslavement to rotten habits, it even ripples out to cause idiotic poverty, the kind that just doesn't even add up, doesn't even make sense. Further disease, and without a personal surrender to King Jesus, sin ultimately lands people under eternal judgment. Mm-hmm. Separated from God, under eternal judgment. And here's the rescue. Here's the rescue. The saving work King Jesus came to accomplish for us. He's named Salvation, Savior of the world. Catch the all-out purpose and passionate love. Jesus was born to die. He was actually born to die. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, you have been healed. On that night he was born, the shadow of another tree was already in view. Think on that. The shadow of another tree was already in view. God picked a Christmas tree for us, mm-hmm. for you, for me. The cross itself for you, for me. That tree was in view, that cross, that tree on which Jesus would take our sin and our shame and our pain and our judgment, ours and for all the world. He picked that tree in order to save us. Mm-hmm. His life given there would give us new life. Would give the world new life, changed life, both now and for all eternity. So, pine cones are really in this season. Not only here at Manor in our decor, but also I've noticed them around. Maybe it's just me, but everywhere I turn, somebody's got the pine cones going on. So I want to urge you this week, let pine cones be your constant reminder of King Jesus and his saving work and the tree and our fallenness, but his loving, extraordinary salvation for us. He picked that tree for you and for me. Let pine cones prompt you this week to recall his extraordinary saving love for you, for us. And this actually prompts us to worship and adore him, to all out adore him with all we are and all we have. And so let's walk today with these couple of Advent apps as we go.
So consider, what's your yes? What's your yes? It's pretty incredible. It's almost hard to digest this idea that in the face of crazy and wondrous news that the angel Gabriel presented to Mary, she asked one question.
Just one.
That boggles my mind because I'm not a one question kind of person most of the time.
No, you're not.
It's incredible to me. One question. That's it. Just one. She simply asked one question that was based on her own understanding. How will this be? When she was presented with the answer, she didn't ruminate on it. She didn't dial up her doctors. She didn't Google it. She didn't force it. She didn't panic. She simply accepted what God was calling her to do. She lived by faith, and that simple truth is extraordinary all on its own. It's extraordinary. Mary could have opted to allow fear and the unknowns that came with her human condition to drive her actions. Mary could have fled. She could have gone. She could have been unwilling. But rather, Mary chose to allow God to use her and work as only he can. God can use all of us to do extraordinary things if we let him. God can use us to do extraordinary things if we let him, if we believe, and if we act in faith. Examine and reflect right now. Reflect, how is he trying to use you? What's holding you back? How can you be open to him and close the door on fear?
Close the door on fear. That is such a timely challenge for all of us right now. And don't miss, along with considering your yes, don't miss the awe and the wonder moments because of the miracle. Embrace the wondrous mystery. Go ahead and be in awe, that holy wow, the miracle moments. For each of us, we waste a lot of mental energy and physical energy even trying to be our own hero, to be our own savior with our own wit and our own brand of good living and our own efforts to somehow earn God's favor, our own self-help, self-improvement endeavors, others foist upon us. Here's where the extraordinary Christmas story proclaims such extraordinary good news. All out extraordinary good news our true and gracious King has already come. He has already come. We can give up trying to be the heroes. The hero already came. His name is Jesus. The hero already came. His name is Jesus. Dare to believe the wondrous miracle. Dare to believe the wondrous miracle. King Jesus came with purpose and mission and passionate love to save us. We're going to see and feel and know and step into opportunities. We've got that challenge to see and know and feel and step into opportunities in these coming days and weeks. In fact, it's super, super important. Let's choose to see our big opportunities to share in Jesus' mission, to say yes instead of no, way more than the obstacles. Right now, it would be easy to only see the barricades, the big obstacles in front of us. In the current pandemic, we might only feel the obstacles, and they are real. There is no doubt about that. They are real, but not the final story. We have wondrous opportunities. More than the obstacles, we have wondrous opportunities to share the good news. To share via texts, phone calls to check in on people, cards, hitting share regarding live stream services like this one and the Christmas Eve services coming up. Opportunities, way more than the obstacles. Let's very intentionally choose the opportunities over the obstacles. It's a choice to rejoice. It's a choice to rejoice and step into the opportunities. So in response to this extraordinary love of God, we're going to move into a time of Advent communion right now. We're going to move into this time of Advent communion. And as we're gathered online streaming, all across screens right now, we have this opportunity to come to the table, truly. So you can gather your bread. I've got here with me today a cracker. It might be crackers from your house. It might be your morning toast. Oh, that's fine. That works. Get creative. The bread reminds us of Jesus' body given. His body given for us there on the tree, there on the cross. He came to save us. He came to save us. He came to forgive our sins and free us. And the juice reminds us of his blood shed for us. His blood shed for us to atone for our sins, to atone for our sins, to purchase our pardon, to recreate, to return us, to restore us, to save us. Jesus brings his extraordinary, loving salvation. Jesus came with purpose. King Jesus came with purpose and mission and passionate love to save us. Jesus, thank you so much. We praise you. We join in these moments, praising you and thanking you for such incredible salvation. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Right there where you are, you can enter in right now and take of the bread and take of the cup. And even as we sing, as we enter in, invite you to celebrate his salvation.